Women on the Line, produced at 3CR, acknowledges the people of the Kulin Nations, true owners, caretakers, and custodians of the lands from which we broadcast. We pay respect to elders past and present of the Kulin Nation, and we recognise their unceded sovereignty. Welcome back to another episode of Women on the Line, a national feminist current affairs program. We're produced and presented by a range of women and gender non-conforming broadcasters from 3CR in Naarm, Melbourne. We're broadcast across the continent on the Community Radio Network. I'm your host for today, Scheherazade Bahloul. This week, we have a contribution from a friend of 3CR's, Tutu. Tutu arrived in the Women's Centre in Nablus. When they entered, they noticed a pile of press jackets and helmets, a vast array of tatris on display, the smell of coffee, and the hum of chatter from six women, taking part of a workshop on structuring democratic organisations. They met the psychologist and the legal support worker on site for drop-ins. And then they met Mais. And this week we'll hear from Mais, who worked for 20 years at a women's union in Nablus in Palestine. After October 7, the occupation designated the women's union as a terrorist organisation. And suddenly Mais found herself imprisoned at Al-Damun by occupation forces. She now volunteers at the Women's Centre in Nablus, facilitating the making and selling of tatris products with displaced women from Gaza and with ex-prisoners. She is facilitating workshops to upskill the women in the traditional style of embroidering, providing materials and assisting with the sales. And she shares her story with us today. We're so honoured to have Mais's testimony, and we thank her for taking the risk of sharing her story. We also thank Malak for the generous translations provided, and we thank Tutu, who conducted the interview with Mais.
Marhaba, ismi Mais, asira muharrara min Nablus, Palestine.
Her name is Mais, she's an ex-prisoner. She was imprisoned three times. The first time she's mainly from Hebron, so she was studying at Hebron schools, but the first time they arrest her with some other group of girls and boys at that time at El Mascovia area. And at that time, she says that the administrative occupation was not very harsh like these days. At that time, they take you for administrative period. If they cannot prove any accusation, any guilt you have committed, they will release you. Mm-hmm. So she was occupied for Shahrin for 2 months only. And then she was released with other girls and boys because they couldn't accuse her with anything officially.
And this time?
The
second time, the first time she was still single in Hebron. The second time she was newly married and pregnant with her first daughter. And they took her from the place of her work, the union for Union Committee for Women. For Palestinian women, she was working there, and they were arresting her from there. And they stayed in Nablus prison for how long?
Only 1 week.
1 week. They arrested her for 1 week, and they couldn't also approve something against her, so she was released.
What happened with your daughter in this week?
She was pregnant in her 7th month at that time, and she got really extremely sick. While she was arrested, and throwing up and all these stomach diseases. So at that time, she says, not because they are so good, but because they don't have time for sick women, they gave me some medicine to stop that illness in her stomach and the throwing up all the time, because they don't have time to deal with sick women. That's the only reason they gave her treatment. But they were hitting and yes, at that time they didn't recognize and they didn't respect that she's a pregnant woman. So they hit them. But when they saw that she's completely sick, they stopped and they gave her treatment.
Did she see a doctor or just?
Just gave her some medicine with painkillers and that's it.
And this time?
No, very difficult.
Well, this time was really the most difficult one because of the war, because of the situation of the country, because all of these accusations about if you maybe put a post on Facebook talking about this, the Palestinian situation, they will accuse you that you are trying to make troubles or you are trying to make the public opinion against the occupation, so they will arrest you immediately. So she was expecting that this is the reason why they took her. And she was expecting that she is going to stay in the prison from 5 months to a year, because these accusations take this long with the occupation laws. So at that time when they knocked on her door, she realized that she's going to be in a very difficult situation because of the war. And you know, after the war they became even more savages. They treated people more and more harm. They all the time making it very hard and difficult for the prisoners. So after this, she was cuffed and blinded her eyes and put her inside the jeep. She started to think, okay, how I'm going to survive now? I'm not going to think about anything, but how to survive and to pass this period and this stage of her life.
You were focused on survival and you couldn't think of your family that was behind you.
It doesn't mean that she forgot everything about her family. Always in her mind, no one forgets his family. But at that stage, you only think, how am I going to survive? I am in a very, very difficult now situation. The family is out. They can manage. But I am the one who is in, and I have to stay strong to survive, to confront, because if they feel that you are weak and you are surrendering, they will use this against you. So you need to stay strong and to face the accusations to defend yourself and to survive inside the prison.
It's very strong.
Yeah, we saw her family situation after she was arrested. Yeah, Wael and her son, because she has one son and the other are daughters like me. So her son was so, when Wael, her husband, was telling us the story, me and Atta, we started to weep, because I remembered as well, because I have one son and he's so attached to me, yes. Like her son is attached to her, always the one son so attached to his mother. So Wael was telling us what her son was doing. He refused to hug her, because he was denying that she's leaving. So he was in a very bad situation, and me and Atta, we started to weep and to cry, because we couldn't. They tried to look so strong in front of her so she will not be collapsing. They just asked her, just take care of yourself and be strong, we will be fine. So it was really very bad situation. It's not easy for any, especially the mother,
Yes.
The mother is always the one who is all the house standing on, even the husband. Even if you see the husband very strong, the mother is the one who is behind all this. So if they took take the mother, you will feel that all the house collapse. It's not easy, the mother absence. So it was a very difficult situation for her and also for the family, but she couldn't show them this for the occupation. Because they will use her weakness against her,
Yes.
And this is happening to mothers in Palestine.
Yes,
And she was trying to make it easier to her and herself. She was saying, okay, at least my kids are grown-ups, they can take care of themselves. Although we are so attached to each other, but when she saw other cases like mothers who has newborns, who were breastfeeding maybe, or whose kids are 5 years old, 6 years old, all the time crying, wants their mothers. She feels that there are even more difficult cases than her case.
And your friends, some of them are still experiencing this.
Yes, yes.
One of her friends who is now still in prison, also the father is in prison. So it's an only child, and now she is with her aunt. After her mother's arrested and also her father arrested, now she's with her aunt, and she has now a difficult case, because even before she has difficulty in speaking and in expressing herself, now this is even much harder, because even when she expresses, she's more violent. She started to be more violent. She cannot Yes, once we brought her here to the center to make a good time for her, and she accepted to talk with them a little bit, although she is now refuses to talk to people, and she has a phobia now from people gatherings. One of the journalists who were here, he was trying to talk to her, she escaped. I was there, I saw her. She escaped under the stairs. She didn't want to talk to anyone. And she's having a very hard and difficult time in the absence of her parents. When they first arrested her, she stayed 4 days at the Sharon Investigation Center. They investigate her. And she was in an individual cell, only her. And she has a blood pressure, the disease of high blood pressure. And she got that in the prison, and she was screaming, "I'm dying here." They say, "No, you will not die, nothing will happen to you." But when they saw her so screaming, they bring a doctor. And they gave her only a half of a pill, only a half of a pill for her high blood pressure. Yani, I think that the purpose is just to torture her, not to let her die, but to torture, and not to heal her. You know, they want to torture. So they gave her only small piece of the pill as a medicine. After the Sharon investigation, 4 days in the Sharon Center, they took her to the moon. And she says, also, we were investigated as well there. And they started asking me, why you are posting things on Facebook? And she said, you have my phone. If I did, show me. I haven't done anything. I don't know why I am here in the first place. So they took her after that to the Damwon prison, And the soldiers, they were changing their clothes themselves. So she said it was very, very humiliating the way they change our clothes. And she said, maybe because I'm a little bit older than any other girls, they didn't cross a lot of borders, a lot of violations with me, but the other girls, yes, it's like harassment, sexual harassment with them, yes. And they do it in a very humiliating way. When they take their clothes, they throw it in the garbage. And they tell her, here, your clothes are in the garbage. And then they took her to the cells with other women, where she is officially imprisoned now. She's in prison.
And they didn't tell you what your charges are, because it was administrative detention, and the effects of not knowing what the end date is. Like, can you talk to administrative detention?
To be administrative arrested on an administrative case, it means that you never know what your charges are. And it's really difficult on you, because you will keep thinking, what have I done? Why I am here, why I am in prison, and how for how long? Because the administrative doesn't mean fixed period. You may stay there for years on that accusation, and you don't know exactly what have you done. All the time thinking, what I have done. And I was really so convinced when I'm in prison that I'm going to stay more than years in prison. She never thought that she's going to be free in anyway soon. So that's very difficult on her.
You're hearing Malak, who is translating the story of Mais, who was imprisoned in Israeli occupation prisons. She now volunteers with the local women's centre in Nablus, and this is her story. Across these stolen lands now called Australia, you're listening to Women on the Line. We now return to listen to more of Mais's testimony of her experience in the occupation prisons in Palestine.
We don't have to talk about it, but if you can mention the conditions inside.
Well, in general, the arresting, the occupation rules and situation and conditions are very, very difficult. Yani as soon as you are in prison, they started to humiliate, hit. And she says that the period when she was arrested, it was almost the memory of 7th of October. At that day, they did a lot of torture for them because they took them all out. It was very cold. And she's also, she's sick. She has something wrong with her legs. So they took them out and make them sit like on their knees, and they cut their eyes and their hands, and they started humiliating them because of the 2nd of October. And if they ask for medicine, they ignore, as if they haven't heard anything. And for sometimes she says, we are 95 women, three rooms. We go only for 1 hour to take a bath. If anyone of the girls take a longer minute, they will prevent all of them from taking a bath next week. Can you imagine that? So can you imagine that 95 women has only 1 hour to take a bath, they don't have any treatment, only they have their towel and their tissues, and they don't have a brush for their hair. They used to brush their hair with a plastic fork. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Yes. Nothing. No basic. In general, it's very, very difficult situation. And nowadays, not soup. معطيكم صابونة.
صابونة كل أسبوع.
Yeah, every week one piece of soup.
طبعا النساء في
شيء. Yes, about cleaning, nothing. Yeah, very, very bad. One piece of soup every week. And for example, we are women, so we need our periods. So they need the. They need the
pads.
Not just only pads, they need to clean all the time. No. Because they, for example, they don't give them anything to clean their body, and you may understand what I mean. They didn't give them enough pads, maybe two buckets only for 10 women. And if these 10 women get the period that week, that month, it will not be enough, of course. If they want to harass them even more, they just come to the room and take all of these back. Can you imagine that? They give them very, very little, and if they want to harass them even more, they take everything back. So, and they started screaming and that, calling the courts and everyone that, and the lawyers, that we want them back. Maybe they give them back, maybe not. So very, very bad situation. No privacy, no cleaning, nothing. Sometimes they try to entertain themselves a little bit, play some sport inside the cell, laugh and talk to each other. And they used to watch them through a small window of the cell. If they don't like it and they just want to harass them even more, they come and look the cell and prevent them from doing all of this, and prevent other stuff to get in the cell. Very bad situation. They used to have windows inside the bathroom and inside the room, and a small window in the door itself where they put the food for them. After they put the food, they closed it again, and also the windows inside the cell and the bathroom. They closed most of it and only kept small part of it. So when it's so hot inside, they go to next to the window one by one to breathe. To breathe, and that made them even more depressed, because they couldn't play sport, they couldn't speak to each other because they are very hot, they cannot breathe, so they cannot talk, they cannot do any activities. And nowadays, she says, even after the 7th of October, before the 7th of October, they used to have maybe cell phones inside the cell. I remember my uncle, when he was in prison, he was talking with us on the video call.
No.
But these days, nothing. No cell phones.
October.
If someone is in prison, you cannot talk to him unless he is released. Nowadays, nothing. And that days, you used to have to go to the yard, maybe to play sport, to talk with other prisoners. Nowadays, nothing.
How big is the cell that you have, and how many people are inside?
They were only three beds and seven women. They used to have 12 rooms when she was in the prison, and they were 95. Prisoners, women prisoners. Nowadays, there are Jewish women who are dealing with Hezbollah and Hamas and maybe and Iran. They took three rooms from these 12 rooms for these Jewish people who are women who are dealing with the terrorist organizations. And only now 9 rooms left for another 20 in 90. Now, when Mace was in the prison, they were 95 prisoners. And after the deal, the only 10 left. Now they are back to 90 again with smaller rooms and less rooms. So it's for sure it's even more difficult on them. When she was in prison, she says nowadays even it's more difficult, because when she was in prison, when they used to go this hour out, they were free-handed. Nowadays they are cuffed.
Yes.
Well, she knew from at the beginning they were not aware about the deal, because they don't have to, they didn't have anything, any source of information. Mm-hmm. But one of the girls who was going to the court, her lawyer told her that we are not going to charge you today because you are going out with other women because of the deal with Hamas. So she came back to the prison very happy, telling everyone, we are leaving with the deal. So, and also at that time, soldiers were punishing the girl for telling other girls to make them happy. Mm. So at that time they were, at least they gave them some hope that they are leaving finally. And she says, it was like Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday, it's weekend, so no news. On Sunday, one of the girls have another court. She came back running. She says, we are leaving today. We are leaving the prison today. So they were very extremely happy that they are going to leave. But the thing that the bad thing was that they were, playing a little bit, manipulating their nerves, For example, they go to Mice's room and they say only few names of the girls who are leaving, and that's it, and leave. So the other girls start to collapse. We are not leaving. Although they are leaving, but they don't tell them immediately to make them even more, psychologically devastated. So at the end, they left, but they kept the women from Gaza, although they were very, very encouraged that since the deal is from Gaza, so they are leaving, but unfortunately, they didn't leave. And when Mais and other women were asking about women from Gaza, they said, don't interfere. Then you just only take care of your own business, don't ask about other women. So they left to sustained them for another 7 hours before they were released. Mm. When? In Aufar prison. They kept them for 7 hours before they were released with the Red Cross buses. At that time, she says, a lot of harassment happened there because they all the time keep shouting, we have just released you because we had to, not just because we want to, and we all have all your names, always threatening them that anything, any word comes from anyone of you, we will arrest you again. So where they're threatening, hitting, and, harassing them even more. At the end, they reached the buses and they contacted their families to come and pick them. Wow. Yes. But it was very, very bad experience, of course.
And so now when the army comes to Nablus, are you thinking it could be for me?
At the beginning of her release, yes. Anytime they are close her to her house, if she hears their voices shouting, she says, okay, they are coming back for me. So she dressed up and wait for them, and then find out that it's not for her, for someone else. But now she's trying to cope even more, a little bit more released, but she sometimes think about it. After she was in prison, they closed... After, when she was imprisoned, of course, they closed the association where she used to work, because they consider it a terrorist organization. I told you yesterday about it. So she felt that she's now worthless. She used to work like for 40 years. She was working since she was 20 and now she's 60. So 40 years in field work, and then found herself unemployed. So it was really very difficult stage psychologically for her. She was so affected because now she's doing nothing in her life. So she was very stressed, and after a while, and also other associations didn't receive her in their places, because anyone who has in his CV anything related to occupation and to political stuff, they don't accept him in other associations. No support for these people. So in the Women's Support Center, they afford her to become a volunteer into Rathiyat project for women from Gaza, for imprisoned women, for women who have talent and has no income, or who are leading families. They started this project to help them financially and psychologically as well. And the Women's Support Center asked her to be a volunteer to be controlling this project and to be the advisor of this project, and she agreed because she finally felt that it's a very good chance to feel that I'm doing something in my life, you see. And she had a library in her neighborhood, and at that library she started to sell things for like stationery for children, and now she feels a little bit that she's alive. Because it's not easy to be independent woman for this long life, long years, and now you need to take money from your kids or from your husband. It's not easy. So now yani, it's more even better situation for her. And by the way, the Turathiyat, a project that Mace is talking about, is a very important project. As I told you before, it was like an idea for when we saw Gaza women working like very beautiful, intelligent handcrafts, you know. And we were thinking, why not to help these women to make their own project instead of waiting for someone to help them? So this is where the idea started from. So we as a center, then we started to think about how to help these women and to live in dignity at the same time and to do a project in our center. So we invited these women, we gave them a little bit training, and we announced that some other women, they can come, ex-prisoners, maybe families of prisoners who has women who can do such things, and also families who led by women, who has no men to finance or to do the expenses. So we targeted all these groups of women in the center, and we tried to help them with some stuff and with some training.
This is perfect. Question. Thank you so much.
And that was Mace, who was sharing her testimony of her experience in Israeli prisons, occupied Palestine. We thank Mace very much for sharing her story with us and with our listeners. And we also thank Malak, who has provided the translations on site in Nablus. And Tutu, who is a friend of 3CR and who has travelled to the West Bank and conducted this interview. If you are interested in funding the next round of workshops at the Women's Centre, or engaging Malak for her translations, or in purchasing any of the Tatri's products, please reach out to Dr. Frank 1312 at proton.me. That's Dr. Frank, DrFranK 1312 at proton.me. The music that you're listening in the background is El Fanun Palestinian Dance Group, and we'll have a link to this music in our show notes. And that's all we have time for today. I would love to hear any comments or thoughts you might have about the program, so please give us a call on 03-9419-8377 or send us an email at womenontheline@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Women on the Line. Women on the Line is a national feminist current affairs program, and it's produced and presented by a range of women and gender non-conforming broadcasters from 3CR in Naarm, Melbourne. And we're broadcast across the continent on the Community Radio Network. We have funding support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The music that you heard today is the El Fanun Palestinian Dance Troupe, but the theme music that you usually hear on our show is by Ripley Kavara. All our programs can be downloaded from 3cr.org.au/womenontheline. You can also listen to any of our shows on your favourite podcasting app. I'm Scheherazade Blul. Tune in to Women on the Line next week on your local community radio station.